on page Chav Tes, Achshavos Avreichem. Purim is only a pause for an opportunity to try to put into effect some of the Torahs that the Rebbe's been teaching us. But in Perek Dal, the Rebbe begins to teach us practical ways of making ourselves into Misragshim. Of course, one has to begin, and the Rebbe begins with the obvious, that for a Jew to be an Ish Misragesh in his Avodas Hashem, that the Avodas Hashem should be with excitement and should be with Chiyus, with vitality. It's not a Yesh Me'ayin. That's not something that he has to create within himself, Yesh Me'ayin, from nothing. That thought, of course, is what many people have, and as a result of that, they feel that they're far, far removed from any type of his karvas and his rakshas. But instead, what the Rebbe, of course, explains at the beginning, and we've learned over and over through his writings, is that the very teva, the very essence, the nature of a yid, of a Jew, is this chamimus, this warmth. And bechlal, to be a person that's a misragish. However, this, unfortunately, this hisragishus is manifested in many different things in his life. Without learning how to tap into that emotion and to use it for Avodas Hashem, the person remains throughout his entire life an ish margish, but a margish who wastes his energy, his kaiches, on other things, oftentimes things that are not good, that are not holy. On page Chav Tes of the Svarm Kedoshim Isa, we see in the Svarm Kedoshim, Sheyesh Lefamim Shenefesh Isha Yisraeli Mispalas Becharata, Tshuva Hachno Yir Vechadayme. You find in the Svarm Kedoshim that sometimes a Yid, the nefesh of a Jew, is mispoil, has a hispilus, charata. There's a very, very strong, powerful emotion of regret, of remorse, of tshuva, of being submissive, and of yira, b'chadayma. Ve'ish margish b'kirba, eza rachash ve'in ni'imus b'kirba. Ve'loyada maloi. The person feels within himself an unpleasantness, a terrible unpleasantness, and he doesn't know what's the source of that unpleasantness. The Yachshav Shiraevhu, Tsame Atzarch Lamat Yayin Sar for Rikikim, and he feels there's something that he needs to give him a lift, to strengthen him. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he could use a little bit of mashke, some mezainis, something to drink. Oshim and Marish Chara Achazai. There's a Marish Chayra, he's depressed about something. There's a Marish Chayra. Uchadeh levadeach es atzmai, this is pretty much a description of life in America. Uchadeh levadeach es atzmai, in order to cheer himself up, which is what's really taking place inside of his nefesh, that's what he begins with. The nefesh, East Yisraeli, is mispels b'charat b'tshuva, hachna yiv chadayma. Because the soul itself is feeling his pilas, looking at itself, looking at that individual's life of what am I doing, what am I accomplishing, what am I, especially if it's after a particularly difficult time in that person's life, or there are avairas that he didn't expect to fall into. So the individual himself, he doesn't actually descend into the hispilus and nefesh and to identify the cause for his feelings of uneasiness and depression. So he assumes that this is something that's, it's something that a person goes through, and I'm not quite sure what it is. And he looks for all different kinds of ways to get over this feeling of darkness in his life, this feeling of sadness, of depression. So for some people it means that to have something to eat, to have some schnapps. And he feels that there's a morish chayra, there's a depression. So chedel v'deches atzum secherchu b'nei beisai, So there are all different types of distractions. There are different ways that a person tries to overcome these feelings. Of course, the Rebbe was talking at a time when it was rare that people went to therapists and to seek professional help. Nowadays, there are people who are more comfortable with that, and they'll go to that in an early stage in their depression. There are others who wait much, much longer, and there are others who refuse to go for any kind of help. But what the Rebbe is saying is that in order to try to cheer himself up, he re-engages in conversations with the Bnei Bayis, with his household, b'schaik, v'sichas ha'yaladim. And so he'll hang out with the guys. I guess that's what we would call it. He would hang out with the guys and have a good time. And you have all different forms of recreation for guys to get together and to try to sichas yiladim chenarishkei talking. Shalherlech el chaver l'secherch l'vedech es dayit oblashen hara. He goes to his friend to yent a little bit and to enjoy a little lashon hara. Right, levadech is dayt of lashon hara. It's fun to hear about other people, to see about other people. Or if you don't want it to be about, you know, specifically about Jews that you know, and you're more careful, so you just read the newspaper. The newspapers is a heft of lashon hara, just to hear all different kinds of things that are going on and to distract yourself from this unexplainable Marish Chayra that's come over you. Rechilas leitzanis chadayme. Ulefamim gamacha kol eila hamaisa asher also. And sometimes after all of this that you've tried, after all of this that you've tried, all the leitzanis and the lashon hara and the sichas yeladim, And going out and hanging out, and of course the Rebbe never could have imagined that there'd be television and internet, and there are ways that people can mamish distract themselves and can leave this world and try to be in another world. And after all of these ma'isim, I shall also magish as ihan ne'imus bekir by oi. It's not working. He still feels iha ne'imus. He still feels that he feels this unpleasantness. So of course he attributes this to the fact that that his computer doesn't work quickly enough. He's got to upgrade his computer. It takes 8 seconds instead of his friend takes only 4 seconds. He's got to get a new system, or he only has regular television. He's got to get some more channels, and then he'll be happy. Kevin should be true face of Elohim Chukolais. The problem is, there were these phony and ineffective cures that he's seeking, that he's using. Lo daishle ripa is pits a nafshe. Not only has he not cured and healed the wounds of his soul. And he hasn't appeased the soul for all the injuries that he has caused his own soul. That's the problem, of course. But through his aveiras with his own eyes, his own mouth, and his own hands, he himself has brought this darkness upon himself, and he himself has inflicted wounds upon his nefesh. He wants other people to fix it. So the other people are going to be the friends that he hangs out with, or he's going to find himself, if it's a bacher, or find himself a little girlfriend, or whatever it is, where a person will try to lose himself, whatever narishkei. All of these, of course, are not ways of curing that pain that the nefesh is experiencing. The irony, of course, is that all of these attempts that he's making to cheer himself up, all of these efforts are merely causing deeper pain to the nefesh. That's the horrible cycle. That's what I meant, that this is a description of America. That with all of the entertainment and all of the distractions that have been created even in just in our generation, over the last 40 years, 50 years, the things that have been created, the last 10 years, whatever it is, that all of this is supposed to lift people up out of their Moresh Chayra. It's supposed to lift them up out of their depression. Kaidim call the people that are producing, that are acting, that are singing, are themselves the biggest Moresh Chayradiks in the world. And every single sound that they make, and every single ounce of energy that they transmit to the people who are listening and watching is filled with the poison of the bile of the Moresh Chayra. It's filled with that poison of depression. These are all depressed, severely depressed and deranged people. And it's not always both of those, but it's always one of them. But the severely dysfunctional people who in their music and in their entertainment, and even the novels and the books, you know, my kids was given an assignment to read something from Edgar Allan Poe. And I'm thinking, Edgar Allan Poe? So I said to my wife, so a Veltz, Meshigna, Marish Chardik, a suicidal, crazy person, a nut. Edgar Allan Poe. And they gave me an old Beis Yaakov to read Edgar Allan Poe. I said, the whole thing is filled with poison. There's nothing harmful in that. Is there anything harmful in that particular poem? No, but you have to understand that everything is tainted with that Moresh Chayra, that depression. You read Ernest Hemingway. These are people who are mamish that they really wanted to commit suicide the second that they were born. It's just that they got busy enough with other things and they wrote a couple of books until they couldn't take it anymore. But that was the whole metzius, was to be self-destructive and Moresh Chayra. So what happens is that people are, you know, that's already more intelligent people are seeking distractions in literature and poetry and music and so on. Then you have other means of seeking distraction, kiyadua. And all of that, instead of curing the person, he's causing greater injury to the nefesh, to the soul that's in pain. But then you see sometimes that a guy feels a little bit better. Ooh, he hangs out a little bit. You know, he does his thing, and he forgets his, and he becomes a little bit, the ruach inside of him quiets. So he thinks that he's cured himself. Look at that. One night in Atlantic City, I'm already feeling better. Right? He's cured himself. So he hasn't cured himself. What's happened is that he's beaten himself up so badly that he's fallen into a state of what? Of he's nis-alpha. Nis-alpha means that he's fainted. In other words, that there's a shock to the system where he says, the Rebbe says, Atile ofa v'ashpe hitul b'ze'aleh, he has piled such filth and garbage upon his nefesh, actually gamre nistera. There's like, he's numbed. He's just numbed. There's so much garbage that he's piled onto himself that he's quieted down. Like, you know, sometimes, I don't know if it ever happened to you, the unfortunate thing that you left on an alarm clock, like, you know, CBS, and it goes on Shabbos morning. I'm the only one that ever happened to. It didn't happen so many times. It happened two or three times, but it's kfirlich, right? So, you know, you're lying there Shabbos morning, whatever, and then you start to hear, like, this one's dying, this one's dead, and WCBS, and it's good. So the first thing is, the emes is, you know, you have to leave. You have to leave the room. You have to get up and you have to go. But first, you know, you take a pillow. You put the pillow on top. And you say, you know, one pillow is not enough. You start throwing on, like, pillows and blankets. And you still hear the guy go, and you try to put on, like, more stuff, right? And you try to tuck it underneath and get it all around. And the guy's looking, and the rash, the noise, and you try to quiet it out, and there's such a thing that if you pile on enough that you hardly hear it anymore, and you think, yeah, Baruch Hashem, everything is okay. And a person lives in such a way where it is possible that you become so completely numbed and you're so distracted by piling on all kinds of things to try to take away the noise that's breaking you. But really, it's the Rebbe says, it's the his pilus and nefesh, becharot and shuv and hachna and yira. And you're trying to stop yourself from hearing that. And sometimes it reaches a point where your soul is so badly beaten, not the neshama chalil, not the neshama, but the nefesh. That part that connects you to that part that's in between the body and the soul, that part that makes the shidduch between above and below, the nefesh. That sometimes your nefesh is so badly beaten that you've covered it so much with so many with such heaps and piles of rubbish that you push that shalagamay nistra till you can't hear it until it's drowned out and hidden. Until finally, after you've put every piece of linen and everything you have in your house over this thing, you don't hear it anymore. And then what? And then you go, then you're smiling, lying in bed with nothing. There's nothing anymore because you had to put your mattress on the radio too. So you're lying there like on the floor. And now you're okay. You know, it's gewaldig because there's no more noise. And you're not depressed anymore. The person got out of his depression. There are people for whom, of course, all these things don't work, meaning the sichas yiladim, the narishkeit, and hanging out, and all these other things, that the Rebbe's talking about, and having a drink, and having mezainis, then it becomes more serious addictions.
It's easier to leave.
Huh? It gets easier. It's easier just to leave. Yeah. But what happens is that... and this is the shayrish of there was a discussion recently that I was at where there was an expert that was explaining. I mentioned this I think last week, but 2 weeks ago, that there was a yid that is an expert in the Indian of drugs and alcohol and these things, and he was saying how in the world at large, it's not a shayla anymore whether or not there should be drinking or there should be drug taking. It's just a question of how to control it. It's not a question anymore that's what the kids are doing. But it's just a shiloh of like how not to hurt themselves, or like they have when it comes to the Indian of Pagam Habris, how to protect themselves. It's no longer a shiloh of whether or not you can control yourself. It's only a question of what do we do that the kids should be educated so they don't end up with a disease, with a machla, or that the girl doesn't end up having to get an abortion, right? So it's not a shaila anymore in the inyan itself, in the cause of all the depression, all the marashchayr, which is pagam habriz, which is all the marashchayr in the world comes from that. It's not anymore how that a person should feel the joy, the simcha, which we'll talk about by Rav Kook Mitzchem soon, the simcha, the joy of being misgaber. Al Yitzhak. The biggest simcha, the biggest joy that a person has is to give to the nefesh. And to be mezgaber, and to be able to what? To be strong, and not to give in to one's taivas. That's the biggest simcha that a person can have. So all the education now in America is not to be mezgaber. It's not to be mezgaber. And those people, the people that still talk that way, they're looked at as being archaic, old idiots. What are you talking about? What are you saying? Are you saying I shouldn't be Isaac in these things? I shouldn't have a drink. I shouldn't have any marijuana. Marijuana is already gelecht. If you say that marijuana is not good for you, they look at you and they roll your eyes like, yeah. What do you mean? Every single professor that they ever go to in college is he walks out with them and smokes with them outside in the park. And you shouldn't be pegim in the bris. What are you talking about? Well, you're not normal. But all of these activities of drowning themselves in pgam habris and drinking and smoking and all of these in yonim, No, it's no longer a shaila whether or not people should do it. It's just a question of how, like, you shouldn't get hurt or hurt other people. That's what he was explaining, this professor. It's not even a shaila. If you question that, then you're from another time. You're not contemporary. You're not with it. The modern day people understand that these are things that people do, and that the shaila is whether, you know, how to make it that it shouldn't be so dangerous. How to protect yourself, to protect others, and so on. But it's not a shaila of whether or not you're going to. So look to what ends people are going to feel this quiet, that they shouldn't feel anymore a marishchayrit, that they shouldn't feel broken or depressed. And not only the screams and the cries of the soul that the person is trying to prevent himself from hearing, he's trying to drown out in his life, or he hears these groans, he hears the krechses, but he thinks it's something else. He mistakes the sounds for something else. He hears there's a screaming, there's a crying, but he's convinced that the reason that he's screaming, that he's crying, is for something else. I mean, a person's going to go to a therapist. He's having a marish chayr, he's depressed, he goes to a therapist. I'm talking about a therapist that's not a Yirei Shemayim. And he goes to some therapist, and the therapist is going to tell him, you know, that your problem is that deep inside of yourself, you're chalishing to learn a Blat Gemara, and you haven't been learning properly. Can you imagine a therapist saying that? You should know that you're chalishing, mamish. You never learned in your life a real machloik is from the ksais and the sivas. That's what you could use. And he sits there with a piece of paper and he writes down, I want you to begin right away, simon aleph, ksais and the sivas, gevaldig machloik is lafushim yisur, right? Start right away, what? And then there's a mesheva and the sivas, machloik is back and forth, bekiva egi, gevaldig. Take that and I'll speak to you next week. You never hear anybody say that stuff. Right? First of all, if the guy has no clue, which Ruba have no clue, then right away they say, no, I have a friend of mine who's a psychiatrist, you're going to have to talk to him. And then you go to the guy, while he's on the cell phone, he's talking to 10 other people, and this and that, and he's got this, and he's got all kinds of fancy things on his wall, then he tells you, I think Zoloft is for you. Right? Or one of the other famous medications, antidepressant medications, which I'm not saying don't have a purpose in the world, but it's grossly exaggerated. The purpose of these things is terribly exaggerated. But have a little bit of this stuff, you'll feel better. Oh, professor, oh, doctor, maybe you want to talk to me about something deeper than that? Maybe there's something in the shirish of my neshama that's bothering me? Take 2 Zolofs and come back to me next time. You know, take a double. You're right. It's the shirish. God knows the shirish. And to say what's really hurting a person. Again, I'm not saying that there's an inyan that needs to be addressed sometimes and there aren't certain. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that what a yid needs, and to take him out of the marishchayr, is not from this world. It's this world that's injuring the nefesh. And in order to bring the nefesh out, the nefesh has to have its food, its air to breathe. And the person's averus are weighing so heavily upon the nefesh. So he tries not to hear the screaming. Or he hears screams, but he thinks it's something else. They tell him it's something else. This is the, of course, the flip side of this, which is maybe equally sad. The flip side of this is that he can't experience great joy either. The nefesh, every single time that a yid davens, every single word of learning, every single mitzvah, any second that's spent in his karvus to Hashem, any second that's spent doing the Ratzon Hashem, the nefesh has a tremendous amount of joy. The nefesh is rejoicing, but you don't feel that either. Or that comes out also in a funny way. It means, so there's something else that you think you're happy about, but it's not that you understand the root and source of your happiness. But the truth is that oftentimes he says, Asher Smechi Hashem lo yargish. You can't feel any real joy either. even when we say, even when we davening, even davening without feeling, even a person just says the words, that itself excites the nefesh. The truth, it excites the nefesh. When you say words like Elokai Neshama Neshinasata B'Tahari, when you say Adayin Olam Hashem Molach, when you say Matayva Olecha Yaakov, that's good stuff for the nefesh likes that, and it gives his iris to the nefesh. Even if you're not thinking so much, you know, you're like, whatever it is, you know, you're brushing your teeth and you're saying, you know, Adayin Olam Hashem. But the nefesh enjoys that. But you don't feel that. Again, because of the garbage. You don't feel it. Or yargish eze hisrakshis. Or you feel some kind of excitement. V'leyeda mahu margish. But you don't know what it is. Same thing on the other side, on the side of happiness.
So what does it mean you don't feel anything at all in the first place? You don't feel the pain or...
You're just numb. You're emotionally numb. There are people that are...
Nothing's going on at all.
No, you don't feel particular joy. No.
You're not in the stance, so you're not depressed. There's nothing going on. Or you hear some depression. You don't know what, or you're not depressed.
They're all different madragas, but there are... There could be, you know, all different madragas, but there's such a thing as a person who is so emotionally injured, who's so emotional. And when I say the word emotional, I mean in the nefesh. There's so much injury to the nefesh that even when the nefesh is experiencing some joy, it doesn't reach his conscious awareness, and he just goes through the motions, and he doesn't feel. I'm not saying he has to be depressed, but there's something that should be uplifting. It should give him the happiness, right? He's dancing in a chasna for a good friend. He should feel gewaldige simcha. You know, he shows that he's happy, he makes the circles, and he does a couple of jumps and so on. But he inside of it, he doesn't feel. You know? And when it comes to a yontif, when it comes to sitting in a sukkah, and he doesn't feel simchas hamitzvah, even though at that moment, when a Jew touches a lulav, the nefesh is so excited. So either he doesn't feel anything at all, or there is, of course, in his life, there are things that he does feel some instructions, and he does feel something uplifting. It's something that's making him feel good and happy, but he doesn't know where it comes from. He doesn't know what is it that's causing that. So he attributes it to other things in his life, to those same things that hanging out with the guys or with the girls and doing this and watching that. But he doesn't know where it comes from. Kilu hirgish ha'ish simchas b'Hashem. If a person would feel and would know where this feeling comes from, the joy in Hashem, there's noyim aliyosa, bi'ahave, and the pleasantness of what? The pleasantness of the aliyah that a person has, bi'ahave v'yir, with love and with fear. B'shoshu miskarav elu yizbarach b'tayru, when a person is getting closer to Hashem and nears Hashem, b'tayru with tefillah and v'asiyas ha-mitzvahs, with learning and davening and asiyas ha-mitzvahs. You know, I'm thinking about this lady that died yesterday, that the whole world is mamish tumbling over this she'eva, that they're tumulting over it. It's an avla, a terrible avla. You know, to see a family, and the family wants the daughter the parents want to keep the child alive, and there are outsiders that are preventing a person from keeping a child alive. It's an avla. You know, you think about it, it's mamish an avla. And the whole America, maybe even beyond America, is going meshuggah from this. That's what my wife was telling me last night, that she has people that she knows that are crying and mourning, and in the school, my kids are telling me that the teachers are, come on, unbelievable. So I'm thinking about, look, and how do we understand this? What is the, there are people that are being killed, there are people that are dying, there are horrible stories, there are people that are languishing in hospitals on respirators, and these pulling plugs, taking in, taking out. This is kesei there. There are things that are going on. This became, of course, a big inyan in the eyes of the public. So I was talking last night to my wife, and you know, I'm trying to understand what's the nekudah. What's the Baruch Shalom telling us? I mean, you see people that are going crazy over this. So I think it's a very holy thing. When I think what it means is that that there is this feeling that, life is precious, and that there's a yakris to life. There's something, even to a life that, even for Chai Shah, like we're learning in Shulchan Aruch, even for a momentary life, there's something precious to life. But the Velt doesn't have the kalim to understand. So why is attack so precious? Like, I was thinking that if this would be used properly by teachers and by parents to talk about it, I'm not only talking about Jews, but we'll have to, even by Goyim, to talk about it and to try to come to terms with what's getting you so upset. Like, I'm looking in the newspaper, this picture, like you have these teenagers that they're standing there in Florida, they were protesting and getting all fahits. And I said, I want to grab one of these, you know, blonde hair, blue eyed, you know, Aryans, and pull them on the side and say to him, But my friend, you know, you're a 16-year-old kid, you know, you're wasting, your whole life is wasting away. You're smoking joints last night, and you're losing yourself in some sick music, in some gothic music, and the same week that sees this Nebuch, this girl dying, there's some Michigan kid that goes shooting down the kids in the classroom, right? And it's all the same place and time, and all this is going on. And everybody's going crazy. This kid, in some Indian reservation, was in Minnesota. So he went and he killed kids and teachers and people, and he killed himself. Which is also Rachmanis. That kid, I read about the kid. His whole life was Rachmanis. The kid's life was Rachmanis. His father. The father committed suicide, I think, and then the mother's deathly ill, and he had nobody and nothing, and then he descended into that music, into that whole underworld, and then he broke, and he killed innocent people, and he killed himself. He was also innocent. He killed himself, a kid. And then everybody's marching with signs because this Terry Shevel, that she's dying, and the whole country is crying and mourning over this, what happened. So what's the Baruch Shalom saying? It's not Stam. A person has to think. It's not Stam. What's the Seichel Shebedov, you know? What's the Seichel Shebedov? And I'm thinking that the Seichel Shebedov is the Baruch Shalom is trying to scream. The nefesh of Western civilization is screaming. That life is precious, and you care about life. What are you getting so upset about this Terry Shiavo? That people are crying and sobbing and having all night vigils and shaking. And what are you doing? You yourself, do you value life? What are you so upset at that? What are you so upset at? What, she could have lived, she didn't live? What's the nafkimina? Really, what's the nafkimina, that she lived or she didn't live? Of course there's a nafkimina. Because human life is precious. So everybody's life is precious. A Jew, a Havdil, a Goy, every life is precious. And that's what everybody's upset about. That you went and you didn't feed her. You didn't. How could you not feed her? Think about it. It's the same thing. How did you not daven Shacharis today? Do you think it's different? If you don't daven, if you don't learn, you're pulling away the what's it called? The feeding tube. Is that what it's called? You're pulling it away from yourself. You're pulling it away from yourself. You say it's okay because they're giving me some morphine, you know? I'm on a morphine drip. Skivaldi. Like with the pillow over the ears and the Vinoyachlai. But the emes is, a person stops and thinks, what is it? What's the feeding tool of a Jew? Seder, Ben Noach has his own inyonim to make life meaningful. And he's created B'Tselem Elokim. And when you hear these things that it's a shreklich, it shakes up the soul. When you hear about a kid, you know, a friend of mine was saying, I'm not coming, a couple of Indians shooting themselves. We did that all the time to them back in America. I said, what are you, crazy? What are you talking like that? So he says, what's the matter? So now he uses bullets. They used to use bow and arrow. That's what a conversation I had with a guy that I know. I said, yeah, do you mind? I said, that's not the point. The point is, that it's a waste of human life. Gewalt. A person's been selling a little kid. And if somebody would have helped that kid, the kid that was shooting, if he would have had a somebody or something to pull him out of that, so he could have been a productive, good person. Most people are good people. And instead you have a whole churban, a whole shechita. And with this lady with the feeding tube, and what feeding tube are we not connecting ourselves to? And that nobody cries about. Nobody cries about that. A day that goes without learning, that goes without good davening, a day that goes without a little bit of an avoid in tikkun hamidas to try to fix midas in tikkun ha'inayim, tikkun ha'znayim, tikkun ha'bris, a little bit of avoid. For a yid, that's the mazn hanefesh. L'chu lachmu, lachmu means that the bread of a Jew is Torah. And this we don't feel bad. If we would feel this bad, no, we would cry so badly for ourselves. And if we would cry so badly, we're living in a place where thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews are freie Jews, freie Yidden, that are totally, totally unconnected to the feeding tube of Yiddishkeit. Totally detached from the feeding tube of Yiddishkeit. So they're not lying in a hospital room with a million cameramen and reporters, and Jesse Jackson is not coming to give nechama and to give chizik, right? Maybe that's what we need. Maybe we'll call up Reverend Jackson. So you know, we have to understand what this is. It's not a person can just look at things and hear something like this and say, it's Narishkeit. It's Narishkeit. I asked my father, I always like to hear my father. My father is like Emes Lamita, you know? So I asked my father, about this with a girl, what do you think? So my father said, it's an avla. My father said, a guy just can't hasoga. A guy doesn't have a hasoga of what life is. What's life? To be alive. To be alive. to have a moment's chiyus. So I was thinking, let's say something would have happened, a miracle, and all of a sudden she would have opened their eyes and said, how's everybody doing, and then they could take and say, I'm fine. You could take off all the stuff, take off all the kalim, and then you could imagine what would happen. The whole world would have gone mashuga, right? And then Terry would have gotten up from her sick bed, and then she would have gone back to her sick life. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying that she had a sick life. I don't know what kind of a life, but she would have whatever her life was. And then everybody would be fine. Otherwise, if they would tell you, hey, don't worry. Terry, you know what happened to me? Of course, she divorced the husband, because the husband, I don't know. The husband's trying to kill her the whole time. She found out. So now, he has a girlfriend, right? Yeah. So now Terry, Kaidim called Terry, divorces her husband. Let's see if Terry would have gotten better. So first thing, there would have been, within a week, there would have been a get, right? That's already for sure. Then the shayla would be, now what? So then we know what would have happened. Then she would have been on every single talk show, right? She would have been then on every single talk show. And then it would have been all kinds of books and all kinds of movie deals. And then and then 6 months from now, she'd be walking in Hollywood with some guy, some goon that she picked up who's a movie star. And then a year from now, she overdosed on a drug and now she's stuck at dead. Because of the big movie deal that she got, right? So she was better off. The issue is not, I'm saying it all, of course, like summons, but the issue, because I'm also feel it's a terrible avla, but the issue is, what's the avla? The avla is not dying, the avla is not living. That's the avla. And what everybody is all upset about, what the whole country is upset about, is what's the tachlis of my life? But they just don't know that that's what's bothering them. So they're all crying about one lady, Rachmanis, the one lady in Florida that she died. There are people around all the time that are dying. But your heart doesn't go out. You walk in the street, you see some homeless guy lying there in filth for the last 10 years, and he's dying for 10 years. So it's a wasted life. It doesn't bother you. The Teretz is that it's the yakrus of life. And here, the terrible feeling of frustration that there are people sitting in some court someplace passing that the parents can't give it to eat. It's an avla. But it's not the shirish of what America's crying about. I don't believe it. I mean, you might think, I don't know, I'm just saying this is my thing. I don't think that's the shirish what America's crying about. I think the shirish what America's crying about is themselves. They're crying about what's my life, what's the tachlis of my life. I'm not in any machines, but I'm also taking morphine. I'm constantly taking morphine to forget about my inyanim. not to think about my inyanim. And if only the teachers would take this and use it properly. But who are the teachers, Rahman al-Islam? I'm not even talking about colleges, Ein Maladab. I don't know what happens when somebody starts teaching in college. I'm talking about in high school, you still have some decent people. Are they going to tell the kids that their lives are precious? And even in the yeshivas, so they're talking these days, maybe, you know, in the schools, because I know my daughter's schools, they're talking about it. I don't know if in the boys with the yeshivas, they're going to talk about it. But really, if the rebellion, I don't know if the kids heard about it, Bechlal, but if the rebellion would, and the teachers would take it as an opportunity to give Musa. I mean Musa, you know, his chaskas. About life. And that you should make every second good. And what's the tachlis of life? And to connect to the feeding tubes that the Torah didn't just give us one, it gave us 613, and thousands and thousands and thousands. Yid Mamish is getting stuffed every second if he connects with the best things in the world, with good things. But the person doesn't want to. The person doesn't want to hear. So the Rebbe says, He said, if a person would only feel the unbelievable joy and the yakrus, the preciousness, the joy of what? Of learning and of davening, and especially Shabbos and Yantiv. You know, there are many from Jews that they sleep away their entire Shabbos. They sleep away the whole Shabbos. And yeah, we know that sleeping is an inner depression also. I'm not talking about just getting enough sleep. I'm talking about sleeping as a life form, right? That sleep is a person. Depressed people sleep a lot. Healthy, happy people don't need to sleep a lot. You sleep what you need, what the body needs. Okay, there's machlekes, how much? This 4, 5, 6 hours. But the person's sleeping, and the person could sleep Shabbos, he could sleep, now it's coming ready to the long Shabbos, a person can sleep, you know, 3-4 hours on a Shabbos, and that's after he went to bed at you know, 10 o'clock, Friday night, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and he sleeps Shabbos day, 3-4 hours. So, the most precious moments of a person's life are Shabbos. Those are the most precious moments. When you had it. And he has millions of precedents, of course, to back this up with. All his earlier moments of sleeping on Shabbos. Besides that, just, you know, that's what the Velt does. You know, the Velt presses on Shalom, we get Shalom. So a person's tired, so this, that he works the whole week, it's tired, and it's hard. Because it's not just a question of did I learn during the week. We know that when the Poskim tell us that people who are be'ik are not learning during the week or at work during the week, that the main time that they need to connect is on Shabbos and Yantiv. And there's a special Yetzirah that says on Shabbos, I can't on Shabbos. So I'm going to have my Daf Yomi during the week, which is kevelding. But every moment that a person learns on Shabbos is like 10 minutes during the week because of Shabbos. The learning on Shabbos is a different learning. And the davening on Shabbos is a different davening. And that's what he says, Ki Ozlo Bekal Hoya Oila Liyitza L'Hachiko. If you would connect Shabbos Yontiv and you would realize where this Ahav in you is coming from, and you would draw yourself closer to Hashem Yisbarach, then it would be very hard for the Eitz Sahar to pull you away from that kind of learning and that kind of davening. The Eitz Sahar could pull you away from learning and davening that's meaningless, you know, that's empty. But there's no learning and davening that's meaningless, but that's empty, that's without feeling. But the Eitz Sahar can't pull you away from something that's gishmak. If you enjoy davening, if you enjoy learning, the Eitz Sahar is not going to pull you away from that. The Eitz Sahar pulls you away from things that are not gishmak. But if davening and learning is gishmak, then the Yetzirah doesn't pull you away from that. Because then you tell the Yetzirah, what, are you crazy? This is gishmak. I enjoy it. This means something to me. I get a lot out of this. A person that comes every week to davening Shabbos, a half hour late, 45 minutes late, you know why? He says the Yetzirah is the Yetzirah. He talks about the Yetzirah like, you know, this demon, this devil that's next to his bed and, you know, forces him to stay. It's because he doesn't have a gishmak davening. If he looks forward to davening, he would jump out of bed and he'd be at shul early to say a couple of kippur l'chdelim, to go to a shiur before davening, to do something. He doesn't enjoy it, so he can't get to shul on time. The people could say that every single day, even though they go to shul. The people go every single day, but every single day they're late. It happens, people are late, that happens to everybody. But every single day to be late? How does that happen? The Torah says it doesn't happen. It's a madrega that the person drags himself to go to shul. That is a gewaldige thing. It's a tremendous limud zchus on himself and the whole family that he's able to get himself to shul. But why can't he ever come on time? Even Shabbos morning, how come you can't get to shul? Davening is 8:30, quarter to 9, 9 o'clock, wherever a person's shul, 8:30, quarter to 9, 9, right? Everybody davens at that time. And you still can't get to shul before 9:15, 9:20. Don't play games with yourself, or with your wife, or with your kids. Why can't you get to shul for the opening bracha? Even why should you even be 30 seconds late? Why shouldn't you be 30 seconds early? Why can't you get to shul on time? So it happens occasionally. This on a kid, if you have kids, different things. Pesayda, you weren't feeling well. Pesayda, but you know that stuff's good for two or three times. They say every now and then, two or three times a year. But the rest of the time, when the kid, you know, when the kid wasn't throwing up all over the kitchen or something, and your wife was sleeping, you're such a malach, you had to do something, right? The other times. Why aren't you in shul when the brachas begin? Why is it even 30 seconds late? I don't understand. Do you understand? Why is that? The Teretz says, it's not kishmak. It's not kishmak. The Avni is not kishmak. The brachas is not kishmak. I don't enjoy it. If you had tickets for the 7th game of the World Series, and you'd be in inning late because of some traffic, you'd be plenty upset. Because you enjoy it. Right? It's exciting. Davening is not geschmack. You go to in a place where you daven, the shul is not geschmack. It's not, there's no chias in the tefillas. So then you don't have a cheshit to, so a person's not crazy, doesn't have a cheshit to go. There's no cheshit to go.
How is a person and how is the olam and the community supposed to get better at it? It's not a class. It's not normal that there are a lot of tefillah classes. So is that something you have to... How do you get really good at it? You read a book on tefillah or just learning in general get your tefillah better? Because there's not like many tefillah classes. It's not a big push. So does that mean if you're learning good, your tefillah automatically gets better or something like this?
I'm not going to answer anything. We're learning how to show Avreichim. We're trying. I don't know. To tell, I mean,
does it literally have to be a tefillah class or other learning that actually make the tefillah better?
No, it has nothing to do with tefillah classes.
That's what I'm
saying. It has nothing to do with tefillah classes. That itself is a distraction from davening.
I think he's
asking a good thing. Dov is asking a good thing. The beginning... I don't know how to answer because there's so much. I'm not saying it's not a good question. It's because everything that we're trying to do for the last 12, 13 years here, all of us together, I don't know how to answer that. What I'm saying is, Aleph, okay. Anoichi Hashem Lekecha, Asher Tzeichem Eretz Yisrael Mibeis Avodah. You know what that means? It means, I am the Lord your God, I took you out of Egypt. What that means is, Emunah, belief. Belief. The Olam doesn't believe in God. Know what I mean? That sounds like a horrible thing to say. Every Jew is a Ma'amin. Ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Garnished.
Because he really believes.
Garnished is no belief. Garnished. There's this thing about God and whatever. I'm afraid. I don't know what it is. No, Amun. I'm learning on Tuesday nights with the women. We're learning the Sefer Bilvavi Mishkan Avne. We're learning the Sefer Bilvavi. The Sefer is making a whole revolution there. It's so. The Mechaber of the Sefer, whose name I just found out 2 days ago, finally. I'm not going to say it. Because he doesn't want it. I know who he is. I knew about him. And Rebbe Gamliel Rabbeinu has told me about him. But he didn't want his name out. But then there was another Yid that 2 days ago told me what his name is. He now came out. In the meantime, he came out with 3 other Svarim. Lahav Eish, on davening and learning. Shni Teilas, on Darchei HaAvoda. and a small sefer called Sefer HaEmuna, the Book of Faith. That if you're having problems, reach me on the phone. It's because I'm going out of my kelim from these svarim. I'm not talking to anybody until I finish them. That's all. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not talking to anybody. It's too important. I can't get it. So this yid that I was talking to 2 days ago, he told me the name of the mechaber. He said that this yid, who Rabbi Gamliel told me about him, because I asked Rabbi Gamliel about the sefer, because Rabbi Gamliel has this haskama thing here. So he told me, no. What do you think? So he said you should know that this yid, the mechaber, is a younger manchik. He's a young man, and he lives with the Rebbeinu Shlom 24 hours a day. That's what he said. He lives 24 hours a day. This book, Sefer Emuna, and in the book, Bilvavi, which we're doing Tuesday night, he says, you know what, let's cut back on all the chazals and all the different things, and let's talk about God, believing in God. When I said that the tefillahs, the classes are a distraction, you think I don't love learning about davening? You think I don't think it's beautiful to learn birat tefillah? I have 10,000 svarim on tefillah, and I love looking at them. And it's gevaldik to say over, what does Ashrei Yeshuvei Vesecha mean, and what does it mean? Yehaluchas, it's gevaldik. It's a limud, it's beautiful. But what you're asking is that going to get people to daven or to be excited about davening? No, our Zaydis and Babis didn't have any books on davening. They didn't have any books on davening, but they davened. So we have a million books on davening, and we don't daven. He never had to tell my father to be in shul on time. You go to the Alta Eden, they're all there early. All the Alta Eden are there early. And that's not only, as I said this months ago, not only because they can't sleep anymore. That's not the answer. Even when they were able to sleep. My father's Al Gazun Zayn was always in shul early. With his chavayim, they're in shul early. Mishnayis, Kippur Lech Tehillim. And they never learned, they never had any tefillah class or a Yom Iyun, now they have it called Yom Iyun. They didn't have a Yom Iyun on davening. And source books on davening. Right? Their emunah was halabedike emunah. Their mothers spoke about God every second. Their mothers spoke about God. We don't speak to our children about God. We send them to classes on tefillah. Their mothers spoke to them about God. Their mothers, when they put them to sleep, when the mothers put them to sleep, when they woke them up, my entire kind, was the Eibush, the Rebbeinu Shalom is waiting for you to get up. The Rebbeinu Shalom is kissing your eyes and opening your eyes. That's how our grandmothers spoke. What do you think nowadays? Get out of bed, you're late for your bus. That's how our grandmothers spoke. My mother, she should be well. That's how she spoke to me. And my mother's not like a chassidish lady. She spoke to me about God every minute. God in Himmel, and the Eibush does this, and the Eibush does that. That's how it was. How she spoke to us. That's not something that you could study. I don't know how to answer. It's not a. That's why he's writing this from this tzaddik, because he's saying that all this stuff. He says we have to talk about the Borei Olam, about the Creator. And that the children should feel a presence of the Rebbeinu Shalom in their lives. When our mothers, our fathers, our grandparents, it was the diburim, the lashonis. You hear svadish, old svadish, and Jews how they talk. Every word is God. Every word is God. Everything they say is the Rebbeinu Shalom. And I told this to you once last year that when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, when our family lived in Eretz Yisrael, when I was a kid. We had a Taimani gardener. My father loved it. They couldn't understand each other. But my father, he was this big, this Taimani, with a little cap, you know, and payas down to here. And he used to come at 5 o'clock in the morning. He was doing stuff out there. And the whole time he was singing Tehillim. And he was doing that. And my father said to me all the time, listen to this yid. Listen to this yid, that tzaddik. To this yid. In other words, the ne'imus of this Jew, and when you spoke to him, you know, you speak to these taimonim, every word was the Borei Olam. He never went once in his class, David, to a tefillah class. Never once. And he can't plant a flower, and he can't take out a weed without the Gornishlo, without a Kifitul Tehillim. This is weed. It's not the classes, it's not the schools. And this, you'll excuse me, the schools are failing miserably in this. Because it's not, that's not the point. The point is not, we need a new curriculum. It makes no difference that I say this, because you can go screaming, and nobody, who the professionals, this, that, curriculum, principals, vice principals, assistant to the assistant. They have the schools in our neighborhood, they have money to throw away. The assistant to the assistant. That you could have some schlep who has somebody schlepping his books. Right? And, you know, he has an assistant. I had somebody ask me last, so I had the last few days, it's just very, very hard to define in Yonam. Baruch Hashem, not here, but different in Yonam with Talmidim of mine. I pushed, yesterday I was someplace being icing on something. I couldn't lift my head up. And so this person said to me, maybe it's time that you have an assistant. I said, an assistant? I said, I don't need any assistant. I just have to get to sleep a little bit. An assistant to an assistant. And they're going to make new curriculums. Oh, we're having a big meeting. Every time you hear the word meeting, it means less Yiddishkeit. Anytime you hear the word meeting, you can make sure less Yiddishkeit. Meeting equals less Yiddishkeit. We're going to have a meeting, and then we're going to have everybody sitting around, and we're inviting a specialist. Oh, an expert's coming to the meeting. Who's the expert? Some guy from this Rosh HaTavis is coming. Some Rosh HaTavis. That's also a sign of less Yiddishkeit. Wherever there's Rosh HaTavis, there's less Yiddishkeit. So somebody comes to this meeting, yeah? An expert from the outside doesn't know who these kids are. Never thought once about a kid. Never doesn't know who these teachers are. Garnish, McGarnish. They bring in some expert who went to some cold college and graduate school someplace, and they told him about how you're supposed to get, get a guy interested in American history and motivated to study algebra. And they bring him in, the expert, and the expert gives a drush to the rebbeim and to the teachers about what? About how we're going to turn kids on to Yiddishkeit. Onto their learning. Hey, Yiddishkeit, they don't even say the word Yiddishkeit. They don't say the word Yiddishkeit. How are we going to get them motivated? Motivated. Whenever you hear the word motivated, it means less Yiddishkeit. Whenever you hear, there's certain keywords. More self-esteem equals less Yiddishkeit. All the diburim, the havel havel, and the filling the world. Tell the experts to stay home and bring an ice cream truck and give the kids ice cream and sit with them and sit with them outside and learn with them Bilvavi Mishkan Evne and learn with them Ashtikal Tanya and the Achias. There's nothing to talk about. You can't say anything. If somebody said to me, wants to speak to me about his school and what are you going to talk to me? What am I going to tell you? Emuna. That's all it is. Tzadik b'emunaso yichya. Thus is thus. There's no emuna. We need to get the mothers to give those, to talk to the children that way. We get the mothers to talk to the children that way. From where did the Svadisha children take such emuna? Because their parents, their mothers especially, talk to them with such emuna. Diburim of emuna, even if they're not from. But the mothers have diburim of emuna. Meila, the kindlech grow up with a strong emuna, and they have to learn and they become an etayr. But their emuna is strong. They hear it, it's in their mother's milk, and it comes out in every word and every look and everything. What's there to do? It's not a book. It's not a film. It's not an explanation. It's not a drasha. It's just emuna. Emuna. And when there's emuna, then there's tefillah, and then there's tayra, and then there's simchas achayim, and there's a geshmak, and everything. But without emuna, there's nothing. There's nothing. And the tefillahs are nothing. And the rabbis are getting up and darshening, and I'm guilty of this like anybody else. But the rabbis are getting up and darshening about this and darshening about that. That's the emuna. It could be ma'aminim. And the rebbeim are giving their little boys all kinds of schmooze and complicated fancy things and saying over all kinds of things. The kids don't believe in anything. They have, when I say don't believe, I don't mean that every Jew has a chelek l'kom yimal, and every Jew, of course, believes in his, but they don't have an active emuna. So the rebbeim are getting up and saying all kinds of things. Rebbe Ruchem says like this, Rebbe Chaskel says like that, and the Shem Yishmol says like this, and the Maral says like this, and the Kuzvi says like that. It's all gevaldig. Just like the tefillah is all gevaldig, the classes. But emuna. And that's what's said, because there could be a million changes in curriculum. and it's not going to keep one kid away from the street. And it can be a million Yom Iyuns on davening, and it's not going to get one kid to pour his heart out in tefillah. Maybe for 5 minutes I'll think about it, but it's not going to get a kid to it's not going to do it. We have to be, the generation has to talk, like, we have to talk words of emunah pshuta. We have to give over that emunah pshuta. We have to talk about the Rabbanu Shalom. We have to feel him in our lives. We have to see him sitting next to us. We have to be pushed to maminim. And on that you could build everything in the world, on emunah pshuta. So the times have become very sophisticated, very complicated. And listen to what I'm telling you, because you know I sound like a Michigan. I'm not arguing with this or that. But what I'm saying is that when you hear these things in the schools and you hear these speeches and all these drushes, ask the principal if he believes in God. Say, you know what? Stop the meeting. Can I ask you something? Do you believe in God? And do you think that the kids in school believe in God? And do you think their parents are thinking about God? And talk to their children about God? Are they talking to their children about God? Do they give them that sweet way of going to sleep and getting up with a sweetness? With a munah pshuta? Do they talk to them about God, being conscious of God? That's a good point. What does everybody else say? Very interesting point. We're going to bring in a specialist, you know.
God.
Yeah. So then they call up Weinberger. Then I'm supposed to go to talk to some school about, you know, these things. And I'm saying, stop all this stuff. It's crazy. Just be simple. It's not a change in curriculum. It's just getting to the pnimius of who we are. And with that, the most gewaldige tikkunim will come to the children. And the most gewaldige changes we'll see. And it doesn't take long, because it's the natural nati of the Jew to want this. It doesn't take long. But they're polluting the air with all these crazy things, all of these things that come from the outside, that don't come from our world, that come from the outside world. They're not coming from our world. I taught for years in this school. I was teaching there with the principal, Zolga Zundzain. He was a gewaldige mamin. And he spoke to the kids, Diburim Shalamuna, and nobody could understand. They came to watch from other yeshivas and other schools. Like, how is it these kids, like, such, the ruchnis are so gewaldig? It wasn't such a, it's not hard. He didn't have specialists, and the other principal wanted to have specialists, and the rabbi would sit on the side, like, shooting spitballs himself. Like, you know, he couldn't take it. He couldn't listen to it. And then he would look at us like, while the expert was talking, because the English principal wanted to have the expert, so the rabbi was sitting there going, because he wants to get back to the kids, right? You know this, right? He wants to get back to the kids. Get back to the kids! Forget this stuff. Hanarishkeit. Just simple. No, all right. Hashem's book should help us that we should hear this and know this. That's all.